Tonight in our Glossary of God series, we want to look at a very Christian word. The word is blessed, or we'll also look at blessed and blessing, all of those together. I was reading sometime back about a fellow who was working in a young adults class at a church, and it shocked him because he said he was greeting people as they were leaving this Bible study or whatever they were gathered for. At any rate, one of his college and career gatherings, and they're all leaving, and he said, suddenly I heard myself saying, God bless you. And he thought, hey, why did I say that? I don't speak like that. And it jerked the rug out from under him, and he quit the ministry for a while to figure out why he was suddenly not being authentic. Well, that's really a shame, because that saying, God bless you, is part of the language of Zion. That's what we say. That really doesn't make sense outside the Christian family. But inside the Christian family, that is filled with significance. When we say God bless you, that's a big deal. Not just when somebody sneezes, but just at all times. One time I was having my house checked for termites. It's our last house. And we weren't quite done with it yet. We thought maybe it'd be good to have the termite people come before we finished, you know, putting the structure up. We just had cinder block, and I don't know if there was any floor, but the foundation was laid. And the termite guy came out, and he was looking at, you know, the project, and he was saying, "Yes, yes, yes, I see." He said, "Who did this foundation work here?" And I said, "Well, you know, my friends and I from the church, we did it." He said, "Oh, you did that yourself. God bless you. That's so good." And then he said, who did the cinder block work here?" I said, "Well, you know, I did it. I had some help. I did this." He said, "You did that? Oh, God bless you for doing that." He went from place to place. And I remember thinking when he left, I'm glad that guy came, because he just blessed me like four or five times in a row. And for us who are Christians, We really think that the Lord is listening to that. That was somebody praying a prayer that God would bless me or bless my work or whatever. And so the word bless, this is the language of Zion. You go outside these walls, you know, I'm talking about the walls of the Christian faith, not here, these walls. But you outside these walls, and that doesn't even sound interesting to people. But in here, in the Christian family, blessing is pretty much the whole game. So let's talk about that. It's a great idea. All right, so what do we mean when we say to bless? Well, to bless is to pronounce a promise for increased happiness. If it's God that's doing the blessing, like God blessed Adam, well, God is pronouncing a promise of happiness. I'm going to make you happy. I am blessing you. I'm pronouncing happiness for you. And if we're the ones doing it, if we're blessing somebody like God bless you, then we're pronouncing a prayer, asking God to increase the happiness of the person that we are speaking about. So God bless you. I'm praying that God will increase your happiness when I say God bless you. That's what I have in mind. Number two, sometimes to bless is to actually make another person happy by giving something that causes happiness. So, for example, you might come to a person and say, you have been a blessing to me because you helped me with my work, or you helped me with my finances, or you helped me by encouraging me. You've been a blessing to me. So we're not just saying that they prayed a blessing for you. We're saying that they actually provided some blessing. They provided some increased happiness because they did something nice for you. And so that is being a blessing. It's providing a blessing. So when you say to bless, I might mean that with words I'm going to ask God to increase your happiness. Or I might mean that I'm going to do something for you that will increase your happiness. And the third idea, to bless God. You know, we are told in Scripture to bless God. And so to bless God is to speak pleasant praises to God, bringing Him increased happiness. So we're going to make God happy with our words, with our praise, with our worship. Now, I put increased happiness, this is going to come up several times tonight, I put increased happiness in quotation marks because that's really sketchy, that we could give anything to God to increase His happiness. He's already perfectly happy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So he's already very, very happy. But still, there is a sense in the Bible in which we give God pleasure. And that's what we want to do. So we can bless God. We are not making God happy when we bless him. He's already happy. But we are bringing him some kind of pleasure, and we're very glad to do that. So that's what it means to bless. Now, what if we say blessed, like blessed is the man that does this, or you are a blessed person? What's that all about? Well, the blessed person is a happy person, one whose happiness has been increased, or one who has received a promise from God. God has given you a blessing, a promise to increase your happiness. And if it's from God, that's a promise. If it's from people like us, then it's a prayer that God would increase your happiness. I just want you to know that I blessed you today in my quiet time. I asked God to please increase your happiness. A father can pronounce a blessing on his son, and his son is blessed. And it's because I've asked God to increase the blessing, the happiness of my child. And so those senses for the word blessed. Jim, were you going to say something? The next possibility is just blessing. So what are we talking about if we say the word blessing? A blessing is a pronounced promise of increased happiness. So if God gives you a blessing, then he's given you a promise of increasing your happiness. Now, if we give somebody a blessing, if I give my son a blessing, then I am asking God to increase my son's happiness. So I have bestowed a blessing. When my father-in-law turned 60 years old, we had a big bash for him in Arizona. All the family gathered, and I was allowed to emcee this thing to some degree. So we got to the end, and I said, Charlie, it would mean so much to us all, the family, if you would sort of, as the patriarch of the family, if you would ask a blessing on all of us, your family. And it was a very meaningful time as he looked over his favorite people in the world and he asked God to bless us. And so we got the patriarchal blessing, if you will, from Charlie. And that was very nice. Number two, a blessing would be any gift that increases the happiness of others. So I want to be a blessing to you. I want to give a blessing to you. I'm going to help you with your workload. I'm going to help you with some burden that you're bearing. And then I will be a blessing. I will give a blessing to you. And number three, a blessing is any praise to God that brings him increased happiness. So we're going to give God a blessing. And we'll look at some passages about that. So in every case, we're talking about increased blessing. When God blesses, it's a promise. It's a guarantee. When humans bless, we're asking God to increase the happiness. And, of course, when we're addressing God, he's already happy. He's doing just fine. But we are hoping to increase his pleasure by the words that we say and the things that we do. So those are our terms. Now, let's look at some of the Bible verses that strike me as being important on this whole subject. These are rather life-changing once you get a grip on them. So from Genesis 1:27, we're reminded that God is the one from whom all blessings flow, as the doxology says it. Read it with me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So when you see that, this is very early. You know, we're in the opening. If you open your Bible to Genesis 1, you're going to see verse 27. You're at the very beginning of the whole story. And we find God already being eager to bless. God is already wanting to increase the happiness of his creatures. And so don't think that God is reluctant to bless, to increase your happiness. God is eager to increase your happiness. And with Adam and Eve, he says, bless you. He blesses them. He says, bless you. I am promising an increase to your happiness. And this will come in various ways. Be fruitful and multiply. There are going to be lots of little Adam and Eves running around here pretty soon. And replenish the earth and subdue it. You get to have this place. This will be your place. You can be the master of this estate. This will be your place. And you can have the animals how you like them. And you can tame them if you want to teach the birds to sit on the little twig outside your favorite place to sleep. You teach them to do that. And you can have a koi pond, a goldfish pond if you want. You do whatever you want. This is your place. And so he wants them to have their happiness increased. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. They're flowing. He's trying to increase your happiness all the time. It's what God is all about. Not only here on earth, but especially in life after this life. And that's what Ephesians 1:3 is so great about. So read this one with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So here the idea is that God has blessed us. He has promised us increased happiness. So whatever your happiness level is right now, this is going to be increased happiness. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, all of them. There's nothing else that could be tried. Spiritual blessing, things that are invisible. And you know that the things that are invisible are really the most important after all. If a feeling of love, have you had the warm feelings of love? Sometimes they make the tears flow because they're just so precious. That's a spiritual blessing. It's not a tangible blessing. It's invisible. And that's a spiritual blessing. And the Lord is going to give you that. All spiritual blessings. And so that's one. If you've had a sense of tranquility. I remember a long time ago, there was in our young married Sunday school class in Arizona, there was a girl named Donna, a young woman named Donna. She became a Christian, and so she started coming to my Sunday school class, and then she wanted me to talk to her husband. And so she had already been talking to her husband about the gospel. So I was just fortunate enough to be in the position that I could kind of present to him the gospel in a simple way and ask him if he's prepared to trust Jesus as his Savior. And he was. So a few days later, I called him on the phone and I said, "So, you know, how are you doing since you've trusted Jesus as your Savior?" And I'll never forget the term he used, because nobody else, you know, once you've been around church for a little while, you wouldn't say it this way. He said, "You know what's really great? Ever since then, I've just been feeling really mellow." I love that. He's feeling mellow. Tranquility. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, calm, tranquil. That's what the Lord is doing. Well, the promise from the Lord, He is the blessed God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, all these invisible blessings. And he has guaranteed that we would have our happiness increased, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so God is eager to do that. He's not reluctant to increase your happiness. He wishes to do it. He is eager to do it, and he has promised to do it. And so that's God. Well, we love this text. We think about this especially every time we do a baby dedication. And this is how Jesus felt about it all, from Mark chapter 10, verse 13. So read this with me. "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God.' And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." That's such a great idea. I mean, if Jesus were alive on earth today, we would all be rushing our babies over there and say, "Lord, please just bless the baby." And Jesus touched them, in this case, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. He was guaranteeing them increased happiness because he touched them. That's an amazing thought. So here is this God, the Lord Jesus, who is eager. They said, oh, he's too busy. Chase the children away. Children don't count. He's too busy. And Jesus said, I am not too busy. I'm eager to bless the children. It's what I like to do. When D.L. Moody was ministering turn of the last century, he was asked about one of his Sunday school classes, and he said something to the effect of, there were 5.5 conversions. And somebody said, a half conversion, that was a child? He said, no, that was the adult. The rest were children. Because the adult only has half his life left to live. The children have all of their lives. Far from chasing the children away, oh, they're not worth blessing. Jesus was eager to bless them. I'm glad to bless them. He was much displeased that somebody thought he wouldn't be eager to bless the little children. And we sometimes get the idea that God is reluctant to bless. And nothing could be further from the truth. Does that raise any questions or observations before we look at another point? Your God is eager to bless you. You mustn't think that blessing is a problem. Blessing is exactly, you might say that blessing is what the entire Bible is about. And you'll actually see that pretty soon from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about blessing. It's what this Lord of ours is keenly interested in. Rob. Yeah, you know, oftentimes we have the phrase childlike faith. That probably is a perfectly good phrase, but technically the New Testament never mentions childlike faith. In this context where the ellipses are, he was actually talking about childlike humility. And that was the point in these encounters with Jesus and children. It was not childlike faith, but childlike humility. And so Rob says, you know, what was the idea of such is the kingdom of God? The Lord is looking for people who will be humble enough to say, I need a savior, I need a rescue. And that humility is what he's looking for. I think humility is the point there. Good. All right. Several Bible verses here talk about our attitude toward other people. And I know you have to be careful speaking the language of Zion outside of the gates of Zion, but I hope that in your heart of hearts, just like that guy who visited me from the termite company, just like that just came out of his mouth, oh, God bless you, God bless you. I know you have to be careful. Maybe you shouldn't just always say that because it might build resistance to the gospel if people think that you are too unusual in your vernacular. So beware of that. But just because you might not say it out loud, I hope it's being thought about in your heart constantly. Is Janet Breeze in here right now? Janet Breeze posted yesterday on Facebook that she miscarried her baby 10 or 15 weeks along. I can't remember. When you see that on Facebook, the very first thought that ought to come to your mind is, oh, God bless you, Janet. And not as, you know, something trite or superficial, but, oh, Lord, please bless Janet. Poor thing. God bless you, Janet. God increase your happiness, Janet. I know that you must be feeling very, very badly right now. God increase your happiness. God bless you, Janet. That should happen reflexively. I forget, and, you know, I'm here so much. When people are walking out the back door on a Sunday morning service, I might say, you know, God bless you to people 20 times in 10 minutes. And so sometimes I'm out with my neighbors and that comes out, oh, God bless you. And I try not to overwhelm them with too much Christian talk right off the bat. But you should try. I mean, maybe don't blurt it out, but think it, pray it in your heart. Lord, increase this person's happiness. And Psalm 18:46 is great this way. Not only should we increase the happiness of the people around us, but we really want to increase the happiness of God. And we talked about how difficult that is to increase his happiness. He's perfectly happy. But to bring him pleasure is what I'm talking about. So the 46th verse, Psalm 18, read it with me. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Blessed be my rock. The Lord is alive, and blessed be my rock. We are trying to increase the happiness of God by worshiping him. We're bringing pleasure to him. In the book of Revelation, the hosts of heaven say, and for thy pleasure, they are and were created for the pleasure of God. We exist for the pleasure of God. And that's what this is saying. Blessed be my rock. I hope that I am bringing you pleasure. I hope that the whole universe brings you pleasure because you deserve that. I want to increase the pleasure of God, increase the happiness of God. So in that sense, as ridiculous as it sounds, we can bless God. I mean, of course, God blesses us. God is the fountain from whom all blessings flow. But what is really ironic is that we can bless God. We can make God happy, you know, increase his pleasure in some way. And that's a beautiful duty that, can you imagine that? In a world where celebrities are worshipped, who is your favorite celebrity, musician, Hollywood type? I think we were at Carol Wynn's one time. Where were we? Maybe at Disney. And Oprah Winfrey was there. And so for this period of time at this amusement park, wherever we were, they blocked off one of the rides so that she and her entourage would have a little space. And they, you know, sent her down. There's this buzz like Oprah Winfrey is here and getting on this ride. And everybody crowding around at the place where you can see Oprah when she goes by. It was very, you know, very big news. And everybody just wanted to see her, to please her. Well, I mean, that is infinitesimally small compared to God, right? We have the ability to bring pleasure to God. That's just amazing. And if we have the ability to do it and even the obligation to do it, it would be like the worst thing in the world for us to think, oh, I don't want to bless God. Well, I think you really should, because this is a privilege that God would pay attention to us at all. And then not only to pay attention to us, but to derive pleasure from what we do, what we say. What an amazing. You could go to bed at night saying, I have been truly on an errand for the great king of the universe. I brought the king of the universe pleasure today. I, of all people, people in high school didn't even know my name. And I brought pleasure to the king of the universe. I mean, that's amazing. Another one like that. Psalm 63, verse 3. Read this one with me. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I will bless you as long as I live. That's the idea. I want to make the Lord happy. I want to increase the pleasure of God with how things are going in the universe. And by my words and by my behavior, I can increase the pleasure of God. One more like that. From the 34th Psalm, verse 1, read this one. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord all the time. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. I'm just going to constantly bring increased happiness to God, increased pleasure to God by the things that I say and the things that I do. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. And one more. This is from the book of Revelation. And once again, you can see how we creatures are able to increase the blessing, the happiness of God. So read this along with me, Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And you see, I've underlined blessing there twice. So it is a major thing that we are allowed to bless God, to increase the happiness of God. And we should make that our every day. You know, I will bless the Lord at all times. We should make that our everyday objective, to bless the Lord. Does that raise any questions or observations before we leave that idea? Tracy? Yeah, that's great. God wants to be noticed by his children, and God wants to be adored by his children. And if we come up to God and wish him happiness, Lord, I just hope that the way I live is pleasant to you. I hope that the words that I say are pleasant to you. I hope they bring you pleasure. That is a profound privilege. And who would think, you know, it'd be a little bit like a flea, I guess, coming up to us. I want to increase your pleasure. You know, most fleas just want to drink our blood. I want to increase. I mean, who notices? It doesn't matter. And yet the Lord has made us to matter. That's amazing. George. Very good. Even if you don't feel like everything is going very well in your world, if you will bless the Lord in those conditions, when it's difficult to bless the Lord still deserves it. And someday when you go to heaven and you look back and say, oh boy, I was a very, very short-sighted person for thinking that I didn't have anything to bless the Lord about. Tom. And isn't it, I mean, it's so difficult to live in this society. We all have to mind our P's and Q's so carefully. There's so much suspicion. But wouldn't it be great if you could just say I love you to everybody and hug everybody and all those things? It's so awful that we can't say those things just all the time. Nancy. Yes, she can get away with it. There are a few people who can. Yeah, you know, and again, be aware of your surroundings, because while it probably is not going to work very well for you to say God bless you to a 10th grade boy in the state high school, public high school, that probably isn't going to be very helpful. When your neighbor is telling you of some kind of a hardship, I'll bet you can say it there. I mean, if you're talking to an adult person going through a hard time, you just let that, well, God bless you, I'm very sorry. And most of the time, they will feel the sincerity of that. That's great. Sue. Yeah, that would be great. Sometimes people say, have a blessed day. And, you know, that's the code word that person is probably a Christian when they say it that way. And, yeah, that's perfectly appropriate. Again, that's probably not going to work if you're in high school in the boys' locker room. But it certainly works in a lot of other contexts. Angie. Angie's saying, instead of saying God bless you, you could give somebody who's thirsty a bottle of water. And then you have actually blessed them. And that's nice, too. Another text that I like very much for this whole blessing study is, again, this idea that we want others to be blessed. So we want to bless God. We want to increase the happiness of God, the pleasure of God. And we want to increase the pleasure of people, increase the happiness. Now, we don't have the ability to do that. If the Lord made us prophets and would allow us to go from place to place and guarantee blessing, then that would be wonderful. But for the most part, it falls on us to pray that God would bless this person. In Numbers 6:24, you have kind of a hybrid of that, because this is the prayer of Aaron. And Aaron probably really was conferred with the ability to bless people because of his special relationship with the Lord. We would pray God's blessing, but when Aaron did it, it was probably more authoritative than when the average Israelite did it. Of course, what we do is probably more authoritative than Aaron, because we are born again children of the King. At any rate, read with me the great Old Testament blessing from Aaron to the people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So everything in that list is great. Will the Lord please bless you? The Lord is going to increase your happiness and he's going to keep you like in a fortress, keep you in a fenced in safe place. The Lord is going to increase your happiness. He's going to put his fence around you and the Lord make his face shine on you. So again, you see a bride and you say, wow, she's radiant. That's it. The Lord make his face shine. The Lord is so delighted with you with a glistening eye. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto you, giving you kindness that you don't deserve. The Lord lift up his countenance. I was looking down at my work. You walk into my room and I look up at you. You have my undivided attention. The Lord lift up his countenance. Hello, I'm glad to see you. And the Lord give you peace. Don't you love that? The Lord just give you peace. This is the blessing of Aaron to the people. And of course, we all repeat it from time to time. And that's wishing that God would increase the happiness of the person who's next to us. And that's such a great Christian thing to do. Same idea in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, but with a twist, read it with me. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So here's the idea that we're going to give blessing to people. We're going to pray that God increases their happiness even after they've been evil to us, railing. They have been scolding us, criticizing us, belittling us. And after they've done that to us, what are we going to do? We're not going to render evil for evil. We're not going to scold and criticize and downgrade them. We're going to look at those people and say, God bless you. I want God to increase your happiness. No matter what you say about me or what you've done to me, I hope that God increases your happiness. That's my prayer for you. That's amazing. That's what makes a person deeply and truly Christian. Did you all see? It was a little thing, I guess, that was making the rounds sometime back. This lady, I think it was a coffee shop. And somebody was trying to get in the line for the drive-through, and a Christian somebody was trying to get in the line. And so this lady in a big Suburban, because all people who drive Suburbans are mean, right? I said that for Amy. She got mad at the Christian lady and was making gestures and saying lots of bad words. And the lady was like, okay, well, you can go first. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And she wasn't in that big of a hurry, so it really didn't matter. And the lady in the Suburban got in front of her, and she was angry. Well, there was a two-window arrangement, and so when it came time for the Christian lady to order, she ordered, and she said, and also, would you please tell the lady in the Suburban that I'd like to pay for her order? And she was returning blessing after that lady had honked her and gestured her and cussed her. She wanted to pay. She wanted to increase her happiness. And she remembers there was a time when maybe she would have behaved the same way. And so she took it in stride. That's gracious. We don't return evil for evil or scolding and criticizing and downgrading for scolding. Like, no, and may God increase your happiness. That is a truly deep Christian grace, and that's what we're after. That's what we want to be in life. Was there a hand once? Did I miss somebody? Okay, so another text like that. We should pray for God to send happiness to other people, as in Matthew 5:44, Sermon on the Mount. Read it with me. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So there it is. If these people are actually your enemies, you still bless them. You still pray for them to have happiness in their lives. And that, we don't always do that very well. You realize that this is the right attitude toward people who are enemies of the gospel. So you think, well, what about those Muslim guys who go in the mall and shoot up everybody, especially the ones who are not Muslim? What should be our attitude? Biff, your enemies, right? So you're going to bless them even though they curse you. You're going to wish that the Lord would increase their happiness. You say, how can we ask the Lord to increase the happiness of sinners? We're going to ask the Lord to save them. That will increase their happiness, won't it? And not only that they'll be saved, but that they'll follow Him diligently as true disciples and be richly rewarded in heaven. That's what we want for them. And they could be holding a machine gun to us and to our loved ones. And that's what we want for them. God bless you. By that I mean, I hope you become a Christian, and then that will increase your happiness everlastingly. And I hope you're a true follower of Jesus, and that will increase your reward everlastingly. And that's what I want for you. Even if you shoot me and my family, that's what I want for you. And that's how we behave toward our enemies. Rob, we have that section in the Psalms. I mean, not one section, but throughout that body of the Psalms, we sometimes call imprecatory Psalms, where David or other psalmists pronounce imprecations, that is, curses, basically, on the enemies. And that's why you have to be so careful when you're reading the Old Testament. All the Old Testament is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and instruction, but it's not all profitable as a regulatory body of Scripture for you. In other words, to tell you how you must behave. The rules have changed. And it was, let's just say it's fine for David to do that, but David didn't have this instruction. This was instruction given to the church, given to Jesus' followers. And so the psalmist had permission to do what they did. For whatever reason, you do not have that permission. So if you run back to the Old Testament, you say, well, I'm doing it because it's in the Old Testament, then you'll be in direct violation to the New Testament. And that is what you must never do. The New Testament trumps the Old Testament because it is, as the terminology suggests, it is new. And everywhere in the Scripture we see we are not under the law. We are now under grace. And this is different than the imprecatory Psalms. It just is. Michelle. The Lord is going to be fine if we are honest before Him in prayer. He's not going to punish us for honesty. But what we're looking for in the Christian life is heart sincerity. So, if in your heart you pray, as in the Psalms, happy is the man that dashes your little ones to pieces. That's a problem from this text. That's a problem. As far as Job not being downgraded for what he said, he sort of was. The closing chapters of Job are a rebuke from God. So is that, does that make Job a terrible person? No. But what we're looking for in the Christian life is heart sincerity, so that when your enemy hurts you or somebody you love or somebody that you don't even know but doesn't deserve to be hurt, we are still praying that the Lord would save that person in the first place and bring him to rich eternal reward in the second place, because that's what it is to have mercy. And if we love mercy, the Scripture says, He will have judgment without mercy who has shown no mercy. So if mercy means a lot to you, then you're going to pray for mercy for the other guy. So there just is a stark difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's why all of those texts involve we're delivered from the law. We're not under the law. I'm dead to the law. There are so many wonderful things you can learn from the Old Testament law. But the New Testament is the constitution under which the Christian life is built, over which the Christian life is built. You just want to make sure that you're following the new covenant, because you're not under the old covenant. The old constitution is different. Tom, both. Yes. And in every case, that's the right idea. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink, because in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. That is both Old and New Testament. That's right for all the believers. That's true. Jim, that's right. You may have to take up arms and even use violence to restrain evil. But at the same, if somebody breaks into your house tonight, I hope that you will restrain him from evil, however you have to, including if you have to use firearms. But when you do it, I hope you'll feel very badly about it. I didn't want this for you. What I wanted for you was that you would become a Christian. And not only that, you'd be an excellent Christian and you'd be rewarded forever in heaven. But you wouldn't. And the only way I could keep this from happening is to use a firearm. And I'm sorry, I didn't wish for it. So you may love the person that you kill. And that's the right idea in Scripture. You have to love everybody. Martha. Yeah, Martha is saying, if you're heaping coals of fire on his head by doing these good works, are you not being vengeful? Are you not getting your revenge? But I would like to, that is future looking. And what I would suggest is that there has to be a sense of justice in our world, in our minds. So the Lord is saying justice will be done. Just don't you worry about that. Justice is going to be done. You just put that issue aside and love people, because payday someday and I'll take care of that. That's not your business. So I think it's an assurance that justice will prevail. And so you just table that discussion and I just love people. Oh, I just have to show you this one and then I'll go to the conclusion. This is so interesting, isn't it? In the Psalms, as this person loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Now, of course, we just said something about those kinds of psalms. But the point that I mean to make here is there probably is in God's justice a pattern. And if you keep running around cursing everybody, imagine everybody who's pronouncing damns on this and damns on that. And this person goes to hell and that person goes to hell. If you like cursing so much, I think you're inviting the curse of God on your life. But the people who love blessing, they keep saying, bless this and bless you. And they're pronouncing blessing because they like blessing. I think that will come to them as well. I have to speed through here and just get to the conclusion. The Bible is basically a book about blessing. That is increasing happiness. How to bring increased happiness to God, I will bless the Lord. How to bring increased happiness to oneself, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Righteousness brings blessing. How to bring increased happiness to other people, God bless you, God increase your happiness. My entire assignment in life is to bring happiness to God and others. My entire motivation for that assignment is that my own happiness, now and forever, comes from fulfilling that assignment. You know what's going to make me everlastingly happiest? If I bless everybody else and bless God as long as I live. So if I care about my own happiness, I am going to be motivated to care about your happiness and bringing pleasure to God. If I bring displeasure to God instead of blessing, or if I curse others instead of blessing them, I have utterly failed in life. And you just can't let that happen. Blessing is a big deal in the Christian family. It's in the glossary of God. And I hope that in your heart, many times a day, this thought will come through your mind and sometimes through your mouth. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just let that be a way of life.